Welcome to the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain, filling in for Brian Mackey, who is on vacation this week. Last week, the CDC updated some of its masking guidelines, recommending again that vaccinated individuals wear masks indoors in areas of substantial or high transmission of COVID-19. According to the CDC's definition, more than 67% of U.S. counties meet that threshold, including 95 of the 102 counties in Illinois and large swaths of central and southern Illinois. The CDC also recommended universal masking for teachers, staff, and students in K-12 schools, regardless of vaccination status. But depending on what part of the state you're in, school districts have signaled plans with varying levels of compliance to the federal guidelines for the upcoming school year. Meanwhile, this weekend, music festivals around Illinois attracted massive crowds, sparking fears of a COVID case surge. Lollapalooza in Chicago attracted an estimated 100,000 people each of its 4 days, and the Down Home Music Festival in Springfield also drew some pretty large crowds. We received a voicemail from a listener who shared his Lollapalooza experience. Take a listen.
Hello, I'm Colby Subiger. I go to U of I, and I'm originally from California. I had a Thursday ticket for Lollapalooza, and I remember before going to the actual event, I saw the sheer amount of people, and I think I got, like, cold feet a bit because I was definitely getting very nervous about COVID happening, especially with the news about the Delta variant breaking out in Chicago. However, I decided against my judgment and went anyways. So as we were going down to the front gates, I literally saw people selling like COVID vaccine cards. We walk in, I begin to hand them my vaccine card, and they just say, "All right, you're good," and just let us through. I feel like I could have really showed them anything. They really were not making a big effort to make sure that the COVID cards were legit. I ended up leaving probably 4 hours after we got there with my girlfriend, just because, like, it just did not feel safe and the crowds were just absolutely massive. I think the people who are to blame are the people who let Lollapalooza happen, because I think it was a mistake, and we're just going to see the numbers skyrocket this next week after Lollapalooza.
All right. Joining us now to discuss the latest on the Delta variant, breakthrough cases, vaccine rates, and the CDC's new guidelines are Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ and host of the podcast Teachers Lounge. Peter, welcome back to the 21st.
Thanks so much for having me.
Next is Kara Anthony. She's the Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News. Hi, Kara, and welcome back.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Also joining us is Dan Petrella. He's the state government reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Dan, glad to have you back on the 21st as well.
Thanks. Good to be back.
All right. So we're going to open up our phone lines for your calls for this segment. We want you to join in on this conversation. The number is 800-222-9455. Again, that's 800-222-9455. Call in and tell us how you're feeling about these new guidelines, how you're feeling about masking. Are you concerned about breakthrough cases, the Delta variant? Or if you have any other questions for our guests, you can call us now at 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at the 21st show. Okay, so Kara, let's go ahead and start with you. Last week, the CDC updated mask guidelines for K-12 schools, but also for vaccinated people. So can you remind us, because it changes, or it feels like it changes often, what is the absolute latest from the CDC?
The CDC right now is recommending that all people wear a mask, whether you're vaccinated or not. And that's really because you can still spread COVID-19 if you are vaccinated. You might be carrying the virus and you just don't know it. And so that's why we're going back into masks, which is really controversial. You know, as we know, we've seen across the country, people are still, you know, protesting, even right here where I am, Southern Illinois, about that.
Interesting. And can you tell us any more about, as you've been covering this, how they've arrived at this decision? You know, what have we learned about the Delta variant?
Well, really, more studies are showing us that because you can transfer the virus and there are breakthrough cases, while breakthrough cases are rare, they are possible. And so given that, and we have a lot of kiddos who are going back to school, which I'm sure we'll talk more about, but I think, you know, that's really the reason why. And right now, our hospitals in the region are starting to see a large uptick in people who are coming in with the virus, and they're really sick. And so I think taking all that into consideration is why we're putting the mask back on.
Mm-hmm. And one of the buzzwords, you touched on this, but let's dig a little bit deeper into that. We've been hearing a lot about breakthrough cases, breakthrough virus. You know, let's talk a little bit about more about what that means and what we know about it. Go ahead, Kara.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, there's a really low chance. Obviously, you know, I saw one reporter put it as, you know, getting vaccinated is like putting on a really good raincoat. You know, there's still a chance that you might get wet, but it won't be as bad and it won't be as severe. But the breakthrough cases are possible, in particular for people who were already in that high risk zone. You know, I'm talking about people who are 65 plus, elderly individuals who may have been more at risk even before we had the vaccine. And so, you know, keeping that in mind, in addition to everything else that we've experienced in the pandemic, I think people are really like looking at that and seeing, and I have a personal experience that in the church congregation that I'm a part of, we had breakthrough cases. Lots of folks in the congregation were vaccinated, but some were not. And some that were vaccinated ended up transmitting the virus. And it just, you know, kind of created a tough situation for everyone. And so it's a really real situation. I think a lot of us hope that it would be like 100% is foolproof type of thing, but it's not. But it's still, you know, been proven that, again, you got to think of it kind of like a raincoat. You know, you might get wet, but you won't get as sick.
And again, people have often said that the vaccine will keep you from getting sick. And I think there's a false security there. It's not that it'll keep you from getting sick. Correct me if I'm wrong. It's to keep you from getting really sick. So the breakthroughs were sort of expected.
Exactly. Like, you know, you can look at, there's been recent photographs that have been released and shared from news outlets across the country that show what a vaccinated lung looks like that had contracted the virus and what an unvaccinated lung looks like. And really, just if I could paint it with words, basically that unvaccinated lung looked really, really cloudy. But the vaccinated lung that had the COVID-19 virus, you could kind of see through it. And because it was see-through in a sense, that meant that the air was still flowing through that person's body. So if you kind of, that person was still sick, it was still somewhat cloudy, but not as cloudy as the unvaccinated lung. So if that's one way to think about it.
Great. Thank you, Kara. Peter, we're going to go to you. You've been reporting on school mask mandates in Northern Illinois from K-12 and community colleges. And we're going to talk about that in just a bit. But first, what are the vaccination rates where you are? How do they look?
The vaccination rates, it really depends on which county you're looking at. And I think that especially when you're looking at, you know, older people that are 65 plus, the vaccination rates are doing pretty well. They're 80 plus, that sort of thing. But again, it depends community to community. Some are a little lower in rural counties. And then, you know, in some counties, they're a little bit higher as you get closer, you know, to the suburbs. And then obviously, when we're talking about K-12 schools, I think that a lot of the concern is that, you know, for the 12 to 17 population, for those kids, those vaccination rates still aren't as high as people would like them to be.
Okay. All right. Excellent. And we are going to go to a call. We've got a call on line one. This is Paul in Urbana.
I wasn't expecting to get on this quick. I was just responding to the caller that said he went to the Lollapalooza as the U of I student. It seems to me that anybody who comes to this community from the U of I that's been at a large gathering like that should take advantage of the spit test and get it daily and to surveil for, you know, infection of the variant. And I think any unspent COVID money should go to that kind of tracking and testing so that we know what's going on. And I'm really embarrassed that Pritzker and the mayor of Chicago went and kicked off the Lollapalooza. It seems quite out of form. So that's my contribution. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. staying along that same vein, Dan, we're going to go to you. So let's talk about Lala. That was last weekend. We already said hundreds of thousands gathered at Grant Park. There was also another music festival in Springfield that drew large crowds. And we heard that clip earlier from someone who left a voice message as well as our recent caller. There are some concerns there. So let's talk a little bit about that, Dan.
Sure. Well, first of all, I want to fact check the last caller there. Governor Pritzker actually did not attend Lollapalooza. He had said in advance that he felt safe. He was going to go. And then over the weekend, his press secretary let a handful of reporters know that he, because of concerns about the Delta variant and the new information from the CDC concerning transmission of the Delta variant by vaccinated people, he decided not to go. He's now facing a little bit of heat for that decision. The mayor was there. They've talked about the safety all along. Something in the neighborhood of 90% of people who attended supposedly showed proof of vaccination. The other chunk of people had to show a negative test within 72 hours in advance. And I guess really we're just going to have to wait and see, you know, over the next 2 weeks, month or so, what kind of spread we see as a result of, you know, cramming 100,000 people a day into Grant Park.
So, Dan, can you break down just a little bit? Because, you know, just to paint a picture for folks, Lala draws a large crowd, not just Chicago folks, not, you know, not just from Illinois even. This is a really large draw. So for those who did not know or weren't paying attention, what were some of those sort of safety checks, safety perimeters that they put in place for Lala?
That's right. So everybody who came through the gates was supposed to show a vaccination card showing that they've been fully vaccinated, or they had to show results from a negative test done within 72 hours before attending. You know, there are questions and reports of, you know, people showing fake vaccination cards, which is a crime. And there is also questions about whether, you know, a negative test 72 hours in advance of attending is really an adequate safety measure, because someone could get infected in the interim and then bring the virus with them to the festival and pass it along to other folks. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't on the ground there, but in the pictures that I saw, there were very few masks. Some people were wearing them, but, you know, I would say, again, from just looking at photos online, the vast majority of the people that I saw weren't masked, which is within, you know, the CDC has said masks aren't required outdoors, but the big but there is unless you're in a crowded outdoor setting. And I would say that Lollapalooza qualified as a very, very crowded outdoor setting.
I'm definitely going to co-sign you on that one. That was a crowded setting. All right, we've got another call on line 4. Go ahead, Nate. Nate, are you there?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, go ahead. I think we lost our caller. Okay, that's all right. We're going to continue on. So, Peter, let's go to you now. You've been following what schools and colleges are planning as far as masking requirements in Northern Illinois. Are most schools going to be following the CDC recommendations that all staff, students, teachers wear masks in K-12? Or do you think, or are we thinking that's going to be varying throughout the state?
I think it goes to show how quickly things have always been changing during the pandemic, because I know in May and June, pretty much every school was going with a mask optional policy. And it's only within the last, you know, maybe 2 weeks that schools have beginning to change their tone, especially after that CDC guidance came out. And the administrators, at least that I talked to, it seems like a lot of them are in kind of a holding pattern, wait and see, we're gonna wait till our next board meeting to make a decision. And that's really kind of inflaming debates in those communities where you have, you know, large swaths of parents that are showing up to say, we don't want our kids to, you know, wear masks. And then we have an entirely different group of parents arguing for the opposite, asking the governor to step in and mandate masks at schools statewide. I think that right now, most of them are still in the mask optional policy. They're still there, but I would expect as more schools, and I think this normally kind of trickles down, as more schools change their minds and, you know, go ahead and you are starting to see more update and say they are going to mandate masks, I think that's going to, you know, other schools are going to follow suit. And so I would say that it's going to go more in that direction, unless we see something from the governor saying that, you know, statewide. And it seems like some schools might be kind of just waiting until, like I said, either more schools go with that or there's some kind of more broad mandate.
Okay. Kara, this question's going to go for you. Anecdotally, I'd love to hear just what you guys are seeing out there. You know, my oldest son plays travel ball, so we're on the road quite a bit. And I always do sort of pay attention to what folks in other communities are doing and if they're masking. And there certainly are communities that do mask more than others that I've noticed. So just since we've been talking about Delta, since we've been talking about breakthrough cases, Kara, what are you seeing just in your community?
Yeah, so I'm in St. Clair County, just right across the river from St. Louis. And so, you know, going out to the stores or anything like that, I really think that it's a mixed bag. You know, I think the vaccination percentage in my county is just over 40%. But recently I traveled all the way down to Alexander County to Cairo, Illinois, the most southern city in our state, where I saw very few people wearing masks. And actually, I'm working on a story that should be coming out in the next couple of weeks about just the culture and what people are feeling down there when it comes to vaccine education. COVID cases are obviously, you know, rising there. I think last week they're late June, they had 150 new cases in Alexander County, which only has a vaccination rate of about 15%, which is the lowest in the state. And so really—
Kara, I'm gonna have you hold that thought. We're gonna take a quick break and we'll jump right back in as soon as we get back. Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Tanisha Spain in for Brian Mackey, who is out this week. Listeners, if you're just joining us, we're speaking with three reporters for our reporter roundtable. We're talking about the latest updates on COVID-19, vaccination rates, the CDC's new guidelines, and compliance among school districts with masking recommendations. Our guests are Peter Medlin, education reporter at WNIJ in Rockford, Kara Anthony is Midwest correspondent for Kaiser Health News, and Dan Petrella is a reporter for the Chicago Tribune. Listeners, our lines are open for your calls. We definitely want to hear from you. How are you feeling about the guidelines? Are you worried about Delta and the breakthrough cases? If you have any questions for our guests, you can give us a call now. Phone lines are open, 800-222-9455. And Kara, we're going to go back to you. Sorry, I interrupted your thought there. So you're working on, tell us what this new piece that you're working on, this new project.
Yeah, this new story is really trying to get at the heart of why are people turning down the vaccine, especially in smaller rural communities throughout our state. And particularly, I'm looking at what's going on in Alexander County. And this story is really going to get at, I tried to really fly pretty low to the ground and really spend a lot of time with local people, talking to them, but asking the why behind the no to the vaccine. And really, there's a strategy that they're going to try to use there that really starts with not even talking about the vaccine at all, but building trust in communities, which I really think is an interesting strategy by public health officials and other organizations and nonprofits that are supporting the work in Alexander County. I've witnessed people having conversations that weren't about the vaccine, just about people's families, just trying to get to know people. And I really think that's an interesting strategy that the rest of the country can take a note of, because, you know, oftentimes people fly in or that you hear all these things on TV, but you really don't know who's giving you the information. So we could see some changes going on down there. And I think it's really interesting.
Okay, we'll be definitely looking for that. And we've got Nate back on the line. Nate, go ahead.
Okay, you can hear me now.
Yes, we've got you. Okay. Go ahead.
Awesome. All right. So I was just calling in because I'm curious. My entire family, we're all vaccinated. Every one of us are. And I know football's a few months away, but we're really big into like college football and stuff. And I know other people want to go to sports too. So kind of with the CDC and everything, like where are we sitting? Because I'm kind of sitting tight to see kind of what happens with Delta and everything. But I was really hoping to go to a game this year. So I just didn't know kind of what the thoughts were on actually going to an outdoor. Kind of, I guess this falls into Lollapalooza as well. But what are kind of the thoughts on going to an actual like sporting event, regardless if it's football or baseball or whatever?
So. Great question. All right, Dan or Kara, this sounds like it's in your wheelhouse. Either one of you want to weigh in?
Yeah, I can take that one. This is Dan. At this point, you know, based on the state guidelines, there aren't restrictions on outdoor events like sporting events. you know, the CDC guidelines, you'd probably want to check those. I believe, if I remember correctly, would say if you're going to be, you know, sitting in close quarters with people who you're not sure if they're vaccinated or not, you're probably best off wearing a mask. And, you know, I think one of the stories we're watching right now is to see whether public officials respond to the Delta variant by reinstituting any of the restrictions that were lifted earlier this summer. I think so far they've been pretty hesitant to do that. They say the data isn't showing that that's necessary yet, other than recommending adopting these new CDC mask guidelines for people indoors.
And this is definitely something that we're going to see continue to evolve and change, you know, maybe not daily, but very often. So we'll definitely be paying attention there. Peter, we're going to go to you. Something we haven't touched on yet is contact tracing and how that has become a permanent part of our vocabulary. So, you know, they have worked really hard this year. What can you tell us about how that job has changed from, you know, last spring to this late summer, fall? How has contact tracing changed?
Well, I think that the biggest thing is that A, the volume ebbs and flows. And obviously they had, you know, when cases were at their highest, there was the most contact tracing. I think now it's changed. The people that they talk to, the contact tracers I've talked to in the last couple of weeks, have just said that for the most part, the people they're talking to are not 65 plus, because the vaccination rates for people of those ages are so high that they're talking to a lot more people in their 20s and 30s and 40s. And it's changed because now they're, you know, a full-fledged part of the vaccination efforts there. And so that's a big part of contact tracing, is putting people in touch with those services if they want them.
Interesting. So it's evolved in the volume and who they're reaching out to contact.
Yeah.
Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. Kara, we're going to go to you with vaccine efficacy. So Pfizer announced last week that their efficacy dropped from 96% to 84% after 6 months. And now here we are in August, you know, 6 months ago, February, the first people in the U.S. started getting those vaccinations in December. So can you talk about this decreasing efficacy and what it means, you know, collectively for the ability of Americans and the planet actually to kind of fight this virus back? What does that mean? You know, a lot of people hear that and think maybe the vaccine is less effective itself. So talk a little bit more about what efficacy means.
I mean, the vaccine is effective. It's not 100%, but I think it's like, again, I'm going to full circle and go back into like education and misinformation. I think that's like the biggest battle that we have right now. And whatever you choose, you know, I think people really have to figure out, you know, what's best for them and their families. But if it's an issue of thinking about, is this going to be effective or not? I think that's a hurdle that we can leap over now, because I think there's enough proof in the pudding, especially when I talked about that vaccinated lung and that unvaccinated lung and what that looks like. But yeah, I mean, more to come on that. More research is coming out every day. And so we'll really be looking to watch out for that with Kaiser Health News and obviously, you know, providing lots of great coverage around it.
Excellent. Okay. And this is going to be a big picture question for all of you as reporters. You know, a month ago, it felt like we were in a different place. Everyone was joking about we can be outside now. And now things are moving in a different direction. You know, we thought we were kind of getting there. Then in the last few weeks or two, the CDC's reversal on its guidelines, you know, it feels different again. It feels like we're entering another phase here. So what is your perception of where we are and where we're going? Peter, we'll start with you.
You're right. That is a big picture question. I'd love to have an answer for you, but what things are going to look like in, you know, a month from now. I think speaking just from my beat particular, I think everyone right now just has their eyes on back to school. I mean, we had that, we had that caller talk about sporting events. I know a lot of parents are thinking about what that's going to look like. You know, is IHSA going to change some rules? And you know, and for colleges, you know, a lot of schools in this state, public universities have, you know, mandated the vaccine, but, you know, there are still some exemptions for that. So there's stories for that of what that's going to look like on campuses. And, you know, I know that one thing with is the FDA right now is, you know, the vaccines are only for emergency use authorization. But I know that there are some colleges like NIU where, you know, students can have a personal exemption for the vaccine, but they can't use that personal exemption anymore if the FDA approves it for full authorization. So one story I have my eye on is whether or not that on the national level gets authorized fully and kind of how's that plays out.
All right. Dan, what about you?
I mean, I think the people who can really answer that question for us are the people who haven't gotten vaccinated yet. We're hovering at fewer than 60% of the eligible population in Illinois. That's everybody 12 and over who have gotten fully vaccinated at this point. And what it's going to take to bring this to an end is for that number to go up, to get a lot higher. You know, and I think part of the problem with this whole thing is the way everything has been so politicized. And, you know, the people who are least likely to get vaccinated and least likely to follow the rules are then the ones who are perpetuating the spread. And so, you know, it's kind of a self perpetuating cycle. We need to figure out how to break that and get the vaccine into more people's arms.
Thank you. All right, Kara, your final thoughts here.
Yeah, I mean, I think just this morning, Dr. Fauci came out and said, like, look, I don't think we're going to have any more lockdowns, but things are definitely going to get worse before they get better. And so I think that really sums it up on where we're going. And hopefully everyone stays safe out there.
Wonderful. Peter, Kara, Dan, thank you so much for joining us and for being part of my inaugural run on the 21st. Really appreciate your time and talents. And we will see you in another time.
Thanks.
Thank you.